Dan Fogelberg, you have a remarkable new album out, The Innocent Age, and you've gotten tremendous fan response already, but I guess it's still maybe a bit too soon for the critical response. Do you ever anticipate that with either one attitude or another?
No, when it goes to number five the third week, I could really care what the critics say.
Yeah. You're not hurt at all then by things?
Nah, we've been doing it too long. Anytime you do a project with this scope and you take this much of a risk with a project, you know you're going to get some bad shots. We already wrote half the reviews of this while we were making it, because we knew what people would say. Mm-hmm. And I don't care. The personal success for me comes from making the album and doing it the way I want to, and having it come out the way I want it to. After that, you know, it's like one of my children. I'm not responsible for it any longer. If someone criticizes my child, it's going to hurt me a little bit, but it's my child, you know. I love it, regardless.
It's very close to you. Every time I've spoken to you about a new record, I can see that the involvement is so close to the center of the person that it's almost... Do you feel open or a little naked when you put it out there? Like,
oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That's what I do. That's my job. That's my life. That's my means of expression. That's my psychotherapy. I put everything I can into a record. That's what art is for. I take a risk every time I do one with my whole being. I went through some real hard times with this record to get it out, to get it done the way I wanted to. To commit to a double project, this personal, it's pretty strange. It was a tough project, but I'm very pleased with it.
Kind of bucks the trend in terms of everyone leaning a little more on their harder edge.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly Dan Fogelberg reaches down in to find a softer edge, if I may.
I don't really pay enough attention to what other people are doing, you know? I mean, that record started germinating 5 years ago, practically. So in order to bring it to fruition, you can't, you know, say, oh no, you know, I've got to rock and roll some more. It just doesn't concern me. I think if what I do is good enough, and it keeps the level of the quality up that I demand for myself for my records, then regardless of the time it comes out, people should be able to accept it and get to it, because it's a real good record. And, you know, I knew there were some songs on it. Actually, believe it or not, two of the songs are getting the best...
airplay?
No, not airplay. I'm getting the best response from people, which is how I, again, base my success, is Auld Lang Syne and the leader of the band. Those two songs, when I wrote them, I thought they were just too sentimental to put on this record. I thought, how am I going to get away with writing a song saying I love my dad, you know? But those are the songs that people are coming to me now and saying, wow, God, thanks for writing that, you know? My dad just died last year or something. I wish I'd been able to say that. Or, you know, Auld Lang Syne, it's amazing. I've had that around since Phoenix. That was cut for Phoenix, and I didn't use it.
Really?
Yeah, it just didn't fit the album. You know, Phoenix was a tougher record, a little more commercially accessible record, I thought. And Auld Lang Syne was just—it just didn't fit there. And I knew it was an important song, so I saved it. And but that one again was people coming to me, and I wrote it as somewhat of a joke. You know, the first four verses of that were just funny. You know? It really happened, obviously, but I was writing it as a joke one afternoon.
Did it really happen? Where you met up with
them? Absolutely. You don't make stuff like that up. Give me a break.
Up and back.
Talking with Dan Fogelberg, and that's one of the key tracks from Innocent Age. I noticed that while you probably intended a double album all along, you did have a wealth of material that had been like Run for the Roses, used just prior to the issue of this for specific reasons, a la the Kentucky Derby. Mm-hmm. How did that song come about? Because that says a lot too about growing up. And
It wasn't supposed to either. That was just a lucky coincidence. You know, ABC Sports called me and wanted me to do the show, and I was terribly impressed because I have never done TV. I think it's a foolish medium for music, for most rock and roll music. Nobody ever comes off well on TV, I think. And there's so few places where you can do it and do it special, you know. And as a sports nut, you know, and a horse nut, you know, they offered me to play for the Kentucky Derby. I said, great, man. You know, plus the fact we get to go to the Derby for free, you know, and sit in the press box and get treated like kings, you know. So I said, well, if you're going to go to the Derby, this is the way to do it, right? And plus the fact that I said that if I ever did tour a lot, I'm not the person who's going to go out on stage and lip sync to some one of my songs. I think it's foolish and fake, superficial. And so it just worked out great. It was fun. It was a great party. And we also had a good chance to put a super band together and play music.
I'm sure all of your fans would like to know where that center or that kind of feeling for a cult or a young filly, where does that sort of empathy come from?
It comes from loving, I guess. I love horses, you know. Here was the perfect chance to write a song for horses, you know. That's not something you think about day to day, you know, when you're writing, you're working on an album or something, I'm going to write a song for horses. It just doesn't really cross your mind much. But at that point, with that thing happening, I thought it would be equally special if I went down there to do the show and wrote an original piece of music for it. And the song came within about, it took me about 2 days to write it, max. It came real fast. And the next week I was in L.A. and I recorded it and it was done. Like 1 week, start to finish. It was amazing. It's the quickest thing I've ever done. And as far as where the feeling comes from, God, I don't know. It's just me. It's just down there. When you go down to the well every time, you don't know what's going to come out.
Yeah.
does there come an apprehension after a time where you say, I don't know how much deeper I can dig into this well, into this mind, and come up with these things?
I don't think it's a matter of how much I can. It's how much I'm willing to in this day and age, because I'm not 20 years old anymore. I'm not going to go out on quite the limb I might have then. I can't do an album like this every time. See, you've got a Netherlands and you've got these other projects which are lighter and easier on me. And then I'll do an Innocent Age when I'm ready for it. But I've got to get myself mentally ready for it first. It is real tough to go down there. Because every time you go that well, you got to dig it deeper. And it gets harder and harder because you keep insisting on better work as an artist. You know, you want your work to get better and better. In order to do that, you've got to go deeper and deeper. The deeper you go, the more chance you have of not coming out of it again, you know. Like I said, this one caused me all sorts of trouble. Psychologically.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I just had to leave the project for a while. After I had my tonsils out in the first place, which was real tough for 30 years old, you know, a singer, it took a long, long time for me to recover physically. And as I was trying to work through the project, keep working, you know, I couldn't leave the project. So I kept working when I really probably should have stopped. And then things got worse, you know, as I couldn't get physically healthy. My mental health started just deteriorating all over the place. And the stress of working like that and being away from home for real long periods of time,
mm-hmm.
just finally just got to me. I just had to stop. You know, it was either go on and work with a psychiatrist beside me, or go home for a while. So,
is part of that because it taxes one's psyche to expose it as you seem?
Yeah, I mean, for me, the writing is not something that can cause me any trouble. The writing is a release. It's a real healthy process. The recording of it is a whole other story. You know, you put incredible stress on your body doing that. It's very, very bad for you. It's very boring. And it takes so long the way I do my records, and I'm totally in control of every facet. So I never leave the project. You know, it's 24 hours a day, every minute of the day, in one way or another. And eventually, that's going to wind you down. Eventually, it's going to wear you out. And it did on this one. Like I say, it was... very uncomfortable times for a while.
You must have been like a proud father, though, when it was born, which is an ironic thing to say, especially considering the theme of the Innocent
Age.
Yeah,
right. Was I a proud father? I don't know. I'm a proud father when I write it. You know, when I'm a writer, that's the ultimate expression. That's the ultimate moment for me. Recording it is me as the professional musician, producer, arranger. That's a whole other person. I mean, I'm trying to get it on record the way I want it to convey the sensitivity that I wrote. I mean, obviously, it comes down to one person writing it and one person hearing it. And through all that it takes to get it on record and get it out, I mean, it's difficult. And if you're successful, if you get one person to pick it up and put it on the turntable and go, wow, thanks for writing that, you know,
mm-hmm.
or really feel it the way I intended it. Now, that's a tough process, you know, especially, as I say, of doing it all yourself.
Every night.